Good afternoon, everyone. It's been a great pleasure to be here on the first day of the week amidst of the Christians who are all together gathered here in order to seek the Lord and to thank Him for all the good things that He has done in our lives. And as we read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse 25, the verse reminds us that we should not give up coming together and we should encourage each other through the word of the Lord. And during the sermon, we will come across few verses and I would request you to read in that. And in today's lesson, we are going to learn some lessons from the life of Moses. Because all these days, we are reading from the book of Genesis and Exodus and now we have come to Leviticus. So I thought it's the best time to learn something from the life of Moses. So I have segregated today's lesson into few sections. Like first thing, we will give some introduction about Moses and then we will discuss more about the entire life of Moses from the birth until the death of Moses. And then we will see what are the lessons that we are going to learn from his life. So when we speak about Moses, Moses is one of the most prominent and important person that we come across in the Old Testament. There are many other great leaders and great personalities that we have read, and one among them is Moses. The more important thing that we read in the book of Genesis is about Abraham. Abraham is the father of the faithful, and he is the one who received an unconditional promise from God that your descendants will go into the promised land. Even though Abraham received that promise, but it was Moses who led the people together along with them right from Egypt, and he took the people into the promised land, even though he couldn't enter into the promised land, but he guided them throughout all those many number of years that he was with those people. So we can say that Moses is the one who fulfilled that promise which God promised to Abraham. And few more important things that we learn about Moses is, Moses is seems to be the author of the first five books of the Old Testament, which clearly sees how God, it is the duration of the time where God directly spoke to the people, because later we see that God spoke through the prophets and other people to the people, but here God directly spoke to each and every person during this period of time. And furthermore, when we speak about Moses, the life of Moses is almost compared to the life of Jesus Christ. There are many comparisons that we can do between Moses and Jesus Christ, because Moses is the one through whom the old covenant, the old law was given to the people, and through Jesus the new law is given to us. So there are many comparisons that we can learn about Moses and Jesus. We can also say like Moses was playing the role of Jesus in the Old Testament. Okay, so this is about the introduction of Moses. Now let us see about the detailed life history of Moses right from the beginning when he was born until the day when he died. And furthermore, we will look into detail like what are the lessons that we can learn from it. So the first incident that we see Moses is in the book of Exodus. So Genesis, by the end of Genesis, we see Joseph and his family. They come together, they joined as a family in the later part of the book of Genesis, and somehow they come and reside in Egypt. So Moses, Joseph was one of the greatest leaders of Egypt at that point of time, and the king was much familiar with Joseph and his family, and he welcomed Joseph's family, and Joseph's family settled down in Egypt. And later on we see that God blessed the Hebrew people more and more, due to which the number of people in Egypt increased a lot. God was with them. But at a certain point of time, after several years, there was a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph, who did not know anything about Joseph, so he came to power. And later on, he can see clearly that the people of Egypt and the people of Hebrew, the count is more, and he was really afraid that the Hebrew people might take over Egypt. So what he decided to give more work to the Hebrew people. So he treated them as slaves, and he wanted to build many big projects, and he wanted to treat them as slaves, and he gave very difficult situation for the people of Hebrew. But still, the people were seeking God, and God was with them, and God was helping them a lot to the people of Hebrew. And the last thing that we see, the most heaviest rule that the Pharaoh brought in is to kill all the male children of the Hebrew. That was the incident where actually we see that Moses was born at that point of time. But still, when we read in the book of Hebrew, we see the parents of Moses, they had faith in the child, and because of which for the first 3 months they didn't kill the child, even though the king ordered it. But they didn't kill the child, but still they kept in their home secretly. And later on, they kept the baby in a basket and they sent it in the Nile River. And coinciding to that, we see that the daughter of Pharaoh, she took the basket and she saw that there was a child, and she wanted him to be her own child, and she brought him in the kingdom. So this is what we see, how Moses was moved from the Egypt, from the Hebrew background into the Egyptian background. And then we see that Moses, he grew up in the kingdom as a prince of the kingdom, because he was considered as the child there. And at a certain point of time, he can really clearly see that the people of Egypt really ill-treating the people of Hebrew. So at one point of time, he feels and he begins to empathize on the plight of the people, because they are crying a lot, why are you troubling us a lot, why are you giving much more difficult job for us. So he was preferably thinking that he knew that the Hebrew people are their people, because somehow he came to know that. And at a certain point of time, he sees that an Egyptian who is ill-treating an Hebrew, and he intervenes between them, and as a result of it, he kills the Egyptian. So this was an incident. He was thinking that no one knew about it. And at a certain point of time, after few days or few weeks later, there was another incident where two Hebrew people were fighting each other. So Moses intervened them and said, brothers, why are you fighting with each other? You two are seem to be brothers, and why do you need to have quarrel? And one of them, he opens this unknown fact to everyone, saying that who gave you the responsibility as a judge between us, and do you want to kill like how you killed the Egyptian previously? So this information has leaked somehow to everyone, so Moses was really afraid. So what did he do? He immediately flew away from that place, and he went to another place which is called as Midian, where his uncle was living. So this is the first part of Moses where we see maybe the duration of the time is somewhere around 40 years. The first 40 years of Moses that he spends in Egypt. And later on, Moses goes to Midian, and he joins the family of his uncle. And while he is doing his job as a shepherd, there he encounters the first incident with God. So God appears to Moses in a bush that was burning, but it was still okay. The bush didn't burn, but he can see that something was something different, and it was not common to be like that. So Moses met God, and there he clearly comes to know God has decided Moses to be the savior for his people. And later on, as we read through the Bible, we also see that Moses, along with his brother Aaron, so they two join together, and they represent God, and they go back to the kingdom of Egypt, to the Pharaoh, and now they want to bring the Hebrew people out of the Egyptian slavery, because God sent Moses and Aaron to do this job. So Moses and his brother, they go to the Pharaoh in the God's name and demand the Pharaoh to let the people go out of the slavery so that they can worship their God. But later we have seen many chapters of it where the Pharaoh is very stubborn, and he doesn't want to let the people go off because all their work will get stopped. That's one reason, and he doesn't want to leave them because God hardened the heart of the Pharaoh. And then we also see what follows is the 10 plagues that God gives to the people of Egypt. And it's very important that to know that these 10 plagues didn't affect any of the Hebrew people, because God really protected them, and these 10 plagues really affected the people of Egypt. But later on, after the last plague, where God killed all the firstborn people of the Egypt. So that was the last plague that God sent, and finally the Pharaoh decided, okay, it's enough for us to fight against the Lord, and now we are willing to let the people of Hebrew to move out from here. So that was the last plague, and we see Moses and Aaron, they are leading the people from Egypt towards the promised land, because God promised to Abraham that your descendants will be going into the promised land. So this is the most important part that we have heard about Moses, is leading the people through the Red Sea. That was one of the biggest event that we see in the Bible, that Moses leads the people to the Red Sea, and God provides a big miracle. He separates the water of the Red Sea, and people are walking through it. And then we see the rest of the book of Exodus. So all these events are happening in the books of Exodus and the entire book of Leviticus. So these two books, they speak about the people of Israel going until the Mount of Sinai. There is a place called Mount of Sinai, and until then these people have been moved together. Moses and Aaron were leading them together, and when they reached the Mount of Sinai, this is the place God gives more commandments to Moses, and he wants Moses to empathize this information to the entire generation of Israel. So to be very specific on what are the details that God gave to Moses, is God gives Moses the instructions on how to build the tabernacle for him, and how to make a traveling tent of worship which can be assembled and disassembled when they are traveling. And he gave some instructions on how to make the utensils of worship, and how the group of priests from the Levi family, how they should be, how they should appear, and the priestly garbs, and the Ark of the Covenant, and many other things, like on how people have to worship God. So there are many commandments that God gave to Moses on that place, and especially God gave the 10 commandments through Moses in this place. So this is about the book of Exodus and Leviticus. And then we move on to the book of Numbers. And at this Numbers, in this book we see that Moses really explains all these laws and the commandments to the people. And finally in the book of Numbers, after all these years of traveling, they finally come very much closer to the promised land. And what do they do at that point of time? Moses sends 12 spies into the promised land to see how is the situation there, whether is it okay for us to move inside, or still do we need to wait. But later we see that out of the 10 spies, out of the 12, 10 brought back bad reports. It's not possible for us to go inside because the people are very much dangerous, and it's better not to go into it. But they didn't have much faith on God, because God was the one who was delivering from the Egypt, and he was along with them throughout this journey in the wilderness. But still they didn't have enough faith on God. And what does God do? God condemns this generation, and many of them died. So they had to travel back another 40 years from this point of place to another place, during which many of them died, and there was the next generation of the people who were traveling into the promised land. But this time, this generation, they had much more faith on God than the previous generation. And in the book of Deuteronomy, so this is the end of the book of Numbers, and in the book of Deuteronomy we see that Moses once again insists this new generation on the commandments of God. So what all the commandments God has given us, what all the rules and definitions that God has given us, Moses re-insists all these information to the new generation, and he prepares the generation to enter into the promised land. And then in this book we also see that Moses, who has been the leader of almost about 2 million people from Hebrews, but still he was not allowed to go inside the promised land because of one incident that happened at the waters of Meribah, where he was supposed to speak against the rock, but he struck the rock and still water came out, but he disobeyed the commandment of God. So at the end of Deuteronomy we see that Moses' death is recorded, and he was allowed only once to see what was inside the promised land. So this is all we can see about Moses. The birth until the death of Moses, what are the different things that he did. So now in today's lesson, what we can see is we can split the life of Moses into three different sections, like the first 40 years of Moses, the second 40 years of Moses, and third 40 years of Moses. Because we know that Moses died at the age of 120. So we can split it into three and we can see what are the lessons that we are going to learn in today's sermon. So the first 40 years, what we can see that he was in the courtyards of Pharaoh, like he was enjoying his life as the prince of that kingdom. He was brought up as a prince of that kingdom, but he had all the privileges in that kingdom, but still, if you read in the book of Acts, chapter 7 and verse 22, we read that Moses was trained, he had all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. He was trained a lot, he was well educated there, he had all the privileges, but still, as the plight of the Hebrews began to gnaw at his soul, so what did Moses do? Moses takes himself to be the savior of the people. This is a very important event that happened in the kingdom, that he wanted to be a hero and he wanted to save his Hebrew people. So what did he do? As we discussed earlier, he killed one of the Egyptians and he flew away to another different place. So, in this incident, what we can learn is that we knew God had a promise for this people of Israel. So, there are some questions that we can ask. Did God want to save his people? Yes. Did God wanted to use Moses to be his chosen instrument for the salvation of Israel? Yes. This was the plan of God. But what did Moses do here? We can see Moses has a different behavior. He has a behavior of a short temper. He gets angry within a very short period of time. So that was the incident which made him to kill the Egyptian. So he is a man who possesses a short temper and he takes very rash decisions. So at this point of time, before God came to Moses, Moses decided that he will be the person who is going to free the people from this Egyptian slavery. But it was not the time of God to do this. So, from this incident, what we can learn is, sometimes we try to do certain things on our own time instead of waiting for God. Those things doesn't really work out for us. There have been several incidents in Bible that we see that we should always wait for God's time for certain things to happen. So we need to leave it to God, and God will take care of it, and God will do it in his own time. In the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 or chapter 5, we read that God has decided each and everything has to take place in a certain period of time. So here from this part of Moses' life, we can see that we need to wait for God's time to come to do his will. It's not about doing his will. We need to do his will according to his own time. So we need to wait for the time to come. And in the second part of the life, when we move to the second 40 years of Moses, in the first 40 years we see that he was a person who was having a short temper, who gets angry very easily. But in the second part of the life history of Moses, we see that he becomes a shepherd, and God makes use of this time to to mold him so that he can learn to be meek and to be humble before God. And this is the next chapter of Moses that we will be seeing here. So in this 40 years, he is doing a kind of a family man kind of a role. He has a family, he has children, and he has to take care of his family. So there he learns more and more things, and he becomes more mature enough, because in his early young age he was a different personality, and in the next 40 years now he becomes much more mature, and this period of time God decides that this is the right time for me to speak to Moses. So God speaks to Moses, and then he decides that Moses, you will be the person who will be the savior of my people who are crying there in the land of Egypt. So God decides, and he takes this opportunity to mold this hot-tempered young man into a perfect instrument for him to use. But there was another different thing that changed into the life of Moses. What happened is, in the early days he was a very short-tempered person, and he was very mighty in his works. But in the second half we see that he has become much more timid. He is afraid to take many decisions, because when God calls Moses that you should go to Egypt and you should deliver my people from Egypt, but Moses didn't accept it immediately. We can see that Moses asked many questions to God, like, I am not a very good person of speech. I am slow of speech and tongue. There can be many other people who can talk much more better than me. Why do you choose me? So there are many questions Moses asked to God. How will people in Egypt believe me? If I go to them, they won't accept me. But more importantly, Moses was afraid to go back because he has already killed the person there. So there was lot of things that Moses hesitated. And when it comes to specifically about this point, that when Moses said that he was slow of speech, many commentators and many authors who have written many books out of Bible may believe that Moses had this problem. But in the book of Acts, where Stephen is speaking about Moses, he says that Moses was mighty in his words and deeds. So it's not completely true of what maybe Moses is trying to tell here, or he's trying to give some reasons that he can get rid of the situation from God. But even for us, in our lifetime, even we tend to do certain things like this. When we have certain responsibilities as a Christian to do, sometimes we say that, no, maybe it's not my responsibility, and it is the responsibility of the preacher to speak about Christianity and to preach the gospel to each and everyone. Maybe it's not my responsibility. Like Moses gave many silly reasons to God, sometimes we might in our daily lives do this. But when God has given responsibility for us to spread the gospel across the world, and we should do it as it is a responsibility for us. So this is another important lesson for us to learn from the life history of Moses. And at this second half of life of Moses, what we see is Moses goes back to the Pharaoh, and he speaks about God, and God wants his people to come out of Egypt, and he wants the people to worship him. But at this point of time we see that again Moses is trying to play the role of a hero, and he is going to lead the people. But when he started to speak to God, he didn't knew that God will be with him, and that was the other reason that he was telling, no, I will not come, I am very afraid, and all those reasons. But at the end of this part we see that God was with Moses, and God helped Moses to speak to the Pharaoh, and here Moses, with the help of God, delivered the people from the Egypt slavery, and he brought them to the promised land. So these are very important lessons that we should learn from the life history of Moses. And the last part, the third part of the life of Moses, what we can see here, the last 40 years. So this chapter, the third and the final life history of Moses, it spends more time chronically in its role in the redemption of Israel. There have been many lessons that we can learn. One of the lessons is on how to be a good leader, because it was not easy for Moses to lead a people of 2 million. It was very, very difficult for him. Like when we read in the book of Bible, in Exodus and in Leviticus, we read many incidences where the people really made Moses angry several times. And one such example, we see that when Moses in the Mount of Sinai, when he went on top of the mountain to stay there for 40 days and 40 nights to receive the Ten Commandments, and when he came back, we see that the people there, they have created a golden calf to worship. Even though Aaron was there, but he couldn't do anything else. But when Moses came down from the mount and he saw that people immediately forgot about God, he was very much angry with them. And as a consequence, he even broke the tablets that God gave him. So there have been many incidences where the people made angry, and every time whenever they make a mistake, Moses was there to plead to God for those people. God, please don't punish them. You are such a God that you had mercy on them, and they are your people. You brought them from the land of Egypt, and you wanted them to go to the promised land. And if you punish them, it will not be good for them. So there are many incidences where Moses is talking to God on behalf of this group. So a lesson for us is that on how to be a good leader. So this is a very good thing that we can see in the life of Moses, on how he was very much patient enough with the people, and we can also learn from that. And as we see that Moses was a person who was having a short temper characteristics. So that was a behavior in him which was there throughout his lifetime. Even though when he had this problem at the young age when he killed an Egyptian, but later we saw that he grew more mature because he had a family and he has to take many responsibilities. But still he had this short temper behavior, because in the wilderness at a specific point of time when the people wanted water and God told Moses, speak to the rock, but what did he do? Just because of anger, he struck the rock. It's purely because of his short temper behavior. And God saw this, and God, what was the punishment given to Moses? Moses might have done many number of things in the past, but this one incident in the life history of Moses, God didn't accept this mistake. And what did God do? God punished him, saying that, Moses, you didn't give me the glory that I was expecting, and you didn't follow the commandment that I gave to you. So you will not enter into the promised land. So Moses pleads to God, God, at least allow me to see what is inside the promised land, because I had a lot of hope that I will be going into the promised land, but just because of this one incident, and I cannot go inside. So what did God does? God gives him one opportunity to go on top of a mountain and to see what is inside the promised land. So even for us, comparing this behavior of Moses, even for us in our lifetime, there can be certain sins that we cannot get rid of. There can be certain sins, but just comparing this life of Moses and his behavior to get angry in a very short span of time cost him his entire promise, that he was having a lot of hope that he will go into the promised land. Likewise, maybe the sins or certain bad habits that we have might cost us the eternal life. So this is a very important lesson that we can learn today, that just like Moses, we should not lose the eternal life. So if there are any corrections that we need to take as a person between God and us, and I feel that this is the right time to think about it and to take a right decision. And furthermore, in terms of faith, when we look at Moses, maybe we can go to the book of Hebrews and read few verses there. Hebrews chapter 11, verse from 24 until 26. until 27 maybe. Can you read it?
Door het geloof heeft Mozes volwassen geworden, geweigerd door te gaan voor een zoon van Farao's dochter, maar hij heeft liever met het volk God kwaad gedragen dan tijdelijk van de zonde te genieten, 26. En hij heeft de smaad van Christus groter rijkdom geacht dan de schatten van Egypte, want hij hield de blik gericht op de vergelding, 27. Door het geloof heeft hij Egypte verlaten, zonder de toren des konings te duchten, want hij bleef standvastig, als tiende de ondiende.
So here we see that it was by faith that Moses refused to be the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ. So here we see that just for the sake of Christ, he gave up all his good things from the Egyptian kingdom, but he decided to be with the people and to be ill-treated with the people of God. And by faith, he left Egypt, not fearing about the king's anger, but he knew that he is going to serve God. So, Moses' life was one of faith, because all the decisions that Moses took, it was all because of faith. That's what we read in this book. Moses, when he had faith on God, he did all mighty things, all big things that he could have never ever imagined, because he had faith in God. He did many, many miracles through the help of God, but just because he had faith in God, he was able to do it. And likewise for us, it is by faith that we are living today. It is by faith that we are looking at God through Jesus Christ, that at one day, at a certain point of time, when this world will come to an end, that God will give us the eternal life. And let's not make any mess out of it. And as we see in the book, in the life history of Moses, there are many things that we should learn, and let's concentrate on them. And if there are any certain bad habits or certain things which should not do, which may not please God, and it's good time to think about it and to get rid of it. Amen.